This program is paid for by Water of Life Church. From Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is speaking through his servants to the world. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. Let us join Doyle Davidson and others of Water of Life, sowing the Word of God in spirit and in truth.
Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, sent by God to you. Well, I welcome you to this broadcast, and I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, let the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead rest upon every human being throughout the entire world to convince them of sin, because they will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of righteousness, because he was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Out of judgment, because the God of this world, the prince of this world, has been judged and has been cast out. Father, let that power rest upon every apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, upon every elder, upon every saint, and every deacon and their wives. And let that power rest upon presidents and kings and all that are in authority. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Jesus' name. Amen. Had to get the deacon's wives in. Just love you all. Thank God. I said earlier this week on one of the broadcasts that you would find that the simpleitis that killed a cow up in Washington State would come from Canada, and now that's pretty much confirmed. Now they need to go back to Great Britain. They need to go clear across to Canada, or they might need to go to Mexico, and they will find out where these cattle came from. These cattle came from a dairyman that did not want to lose his cattle. So he found a crooked dealer. Crooked dealer made a deal with him, and they shipped them to someplace. They ended up in Canada. You see, the dairy industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. The love of money, the root of all evil. These animals had to have international health certificates, but they can be falsified. It just takes that green. That's wicked. I have known many United States Department of Agriculture government inspectors. They're some of the nicest people I've ever known. But some of their superiors who are elected officials, paid off by lobbyists, are extremely corrupt. So we'll see how this plays out. Don't be bothered by it. It's a plague. Jesus prophesied that it would come to pass. I suppose I ought to tell you, the Anglican Church has never given up the fact that they wanted to control the United States with their wicked religion. Amen. Yeah. And we run the redcoats out of the country, so they came back with all kinds of different clothing. God bless you. I hope you love me as much as I love you, because I just told you the truth. And you don't know the truth, so you couldn't tell it. Yeah. Amen. So let's go to Isaiah 52. That's going to be a momentous night. You all better gird up your loins and humble yourself and say, Doyle, don't talk like this to us. Well, I'm not. This is the Father, the God that raised Jesus from the dead. So, someone would like to begin reading in Isaiah 52. And verse 13 would be a nice place to start. I'll tell you what we're going to do. When I was a kid, you say, we're not kids anymore. Well, quit acting like it then. When I was a kid, Lyle would set us down and he'd say, you read this verse, and the next one, this verse, the next one, this verse. Mm-hmm. So let's do that, starting with Terry. Isaiah 52:13.
Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He should be exalted and extolled and be very high.
Who is that?
That'd be Jesus.
Oh, really? He shall be extolled and be exalted and be very high.
He's presently at the right hand of the Father.
That's high, isn't it?
That's high.
Thank you, sir. That's high as you can get. Wally, you want to go next?
Sure. As many were astonished at his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men.
Have you ever seen a visage?
Sometimes in the mirror.
I'm not talking about you. That was marred?
Somewhat.
Really? And could you share where or what portion of their anatomy was marred?
Actually, their appearance, their facial features.
What else?
Their body.
What else? Their brain. You dealt with them.
Oh, surely. When I was at the Lufkin State School, I saw a lot of that on the back dormitories, as they would say, on the back wards.
Amen.
Yeah. Bodies being in every direction.
God set this up. That hurt, that can hurt the heart.
Surely can.
This is not an emotional session, but it can hurt the heart to see someone made in the image of God after their likeness that have no mental capabilities to function. Right?
That's right.
You saw that, didn't you?
I certainly did. The most profoundly involved individuals.
See, I knew that, but guess who else knew it? God. You know, when I knew what we were going to talk about, less than an hour ago, and when I decided or when I knew who should start, it was Terry. I didn't even think about Wally being next. See, you wait till we get through with this broadcast. You're going to be changed. All of us. You will. It's incredible. You know why those people that you saw were in the condition they were in? I'll answer. They were cursed. I knew you would know, or I believed you'd know, but I didn't want you to make a mistake. I was making it myself. Amen. They're cursed, Wally. The Denton State School, where you function somewhat, is that right?
I was at the Lufkin State School, and then I've certainly visited the Denton State School.
Oh, the Lufkin, okay.
In East Texas.
Okay. And those people that were there are all cursed.
For sure.
Amen. But guess what? Good news ahead.
Absolutely.
Oh, this you would call practical Christianity. This is a gospel. Cut out your practical stuff. You have anything you want to say?
Oh, it said that his form more so than the sons, or more than the sons of man. You couldn't tell that he was a man, even.
Well, I've seen this. I've seen people that were almost indistinguishable as people in the military. But I knew you'd worked in an institution where the devil invaded people at the same location that the devil invaded that cow that died in Washington State, the central nervous system. Amen. You know, my education didn't destroy me totally. It just perverted me. But God's bringing me back from my perversion. And now he's going to use it on you. And I'm having more fun in my younger years than I had in my former years. Now, would you like to go?
Sure. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider.
Do you have anything you're going to say about that verse?
No, go ahead.
No, listen, I'm serious.
Well, all I can say is it certainly came to pass, that verse
of
Scripture.
Well, no doubt.
You know.
But what does it say? It says, so shall the king sprinkle, so shall the
nations. So shall he sprinkle many nations.
Right. The king shall what?
The kings shall shut their mouths at him.
They couldn't talk.
No, absolutely not.
Y'all can get into this. This is not one verse at a time, one person at a time.
I mean, that certainly had to be the power of God.
No question.
You know.
It was on him when he went before him.
I mean, just the other day we were talking about when he was before Pilate.
Yeah.
And some of the things that occurred there while he was with Pilate. I mean, Pilate wanted to get him out of there.
He wanted to turn him loose.
He wanted to turn him loose. I mean, even Pilate's wife said, you know, I've suffered many things in dreams of this man.
In a dream, yeah.
That's right. And when she told Pilate that, I mean, he went right back to Jesus and he said, "Tell me, right. Tell me what's going on."
You better talk, boy. I'm
not, that's right.
I'm the king. Jesus said, "What? You could have no power over me
at all."
Yeah. Incredible, isn't it?
He didn't seem ruffled at all.
He wasn't. You know why? Because it was the Father's power.
That's right.
That rested upon him, that was going to raise him from the dead.
Well, that's the key right there, too.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Father's power.
You see, nobody could keep him down.
Glory. That is good.
Acts 22, death could not hold him in the grave. Acts 2, not 22, maybe 22nd verse. Death couldn't hold him. See, God's power can't be stopped.
Jesus wasn't disobedient either.
No, never.
He obeyed the Father 100% of the time.
Amen.
And that's why that power works. And that's what he wants those of us that believe to serve him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength.
Amen.
And when that happens, God's power will, I mean, it's no big deal for God to do what he does with his power. He's not impressed with his power.
Not a bit.
You know, he absolutely is able to do whatever he wants to whenever he wants to. All he wants is a people that have a heart to serve him, that'll obey him, and will do it with their whole heart, not half-hearted. And Jesus came as our example. He says, only do and only speak and only say what the Father told me to do.
It worked once, it works again. Amen. Amen. Now, I think what's interesting is that which was not had not been told them, shall they see? That's got to be the death, burial, and resurrection.
That's true.
They're too high and mighty to talk about that. But one other thing is really cool. that which they had not heard shall they consider. They were baffled beside themselves. The way this man conducted himself. And you know something? They are still baffled throughout the world. They're still considering what happened to this man. Kings, you better know God didn't set anybody up in authority as a king or as a president. That at some time, in their reign or their rule or approaching it, did not consider who Jesus Christ was and is. Even Saddam Hussein, whom many of you learned to hate, you better know when they drug him out of that cave, that hole in the ground, he'd had some time to wonder how great he was. Yeah. You see, I'm just simple enough to believe that Jesus put him in that hole. And visited him in there. Grew out his hair. Made him look real stupid. Well, Nebuchadnezzar looked kind of dumb, didn't he? Fingernails grew out, had feathers on his fingernails, ate grass, and like a beast. You know where Nebuchadnezzar was king at?
Babylon.
When Hussein came out of the hole, I thought, you got to be kidding, man. All this money this dude's got and all these concrete fortresses that he has, and here he is in a dirt pit.
Living in a hole.
With fuzzy hair. Looked just like a hippie.
Well, he did.
Well, he did.
He did.
And you know who did that to him? The man that raised him up. And yep. You can believe it, Hussein had some time to think when he was down there, like, who put me here? How great I am. And don't be surprised if Saddam Hussein is up in heaven. Oh, God. We're coming after you, dude. Well, that's okay. Jesus said these kings would consider.
That's it.
Yeah, let's go on. John, you're next, verse 1.
Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Amen.
Believing is obeying God. That's what it says in Romans 10. Well, we have to obey Him. And we can start obeying Him by just believing what He accomplished in the death, burial, and resurrection.
If you believe it, you will obey Him. Because in the death, burial, and resurrection will be the plan of God for your life. And He'll lead you by His Spirit. Lead us right out of bondage.
Thank God.
Always. This believing stuff is contagious. Communicable, as you would say. Amen. Verse 2. Donnie.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Amazing.
And that's what happened when Jesus was...
What happened?
Well, he grew up before God. He was in Israel. He grew up before God. It's like a root out of a dry ground.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have put this in modern time. Without Jesus, without Him around, it's dry.
Yeah.
It says, I have a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. You know, when all our sicknesses, all our diseases were put on this man, If you go back over to Psalm 22, it says you couldn't even tell he was a man. He had no form.
But this is, he has no form. Now, he was a, when Pilate saw him,
right,
he said, "Behold, a man."
That's right.
And in Nazareth, when he went in a synagogue, they said, "Is this not Mary's son?"
That's right.
Maybe it was Capernaum. I think it, no, it was Nazareth. Is this not Joseph's son? And then he ended up with no form.
Right.
He didn't look like a man.
Right.
As you stated, Psalm 22, every bone was out of joint. And you may not think you would look strange, but if every bone in your body was dislocated, you wouldn't be too pretty.
That's right.
Well, what does that say?
There is no beauty that we should discern.
That's right.
That's an amazing thing. And what Wally started out with over there, or over there where he said he was a stone, and his appearance was marred more than any man.
Yeah.
It just repeats that again, basically, right there.
So what this says, I will say this, probably no one else would, but I will. The man that thinks he's handsome, this man was marred more than any person in the world for you.
Amen.
And a woman that thinks she's beautiful, this man was marred, lost his form, and was not beautiful to look at. He did it in your place for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be resurrected and put on the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
Oh, this man did something, but he was like us. And had it not been for the Father, he couldn't have done this. You know, Jesus was no superhuman. He was like us. The Father was a superhuman, super being, superpower. Amen. Now, I'm having more fun than I thought I would. I really am. This is good. Verse 3. Randy, you ready?
Surely. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That word sorrows, that's pains, and that word grief is sickness. So he is despised and rejected of men, a man of pain and acquainted with sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Amen.
We get a chance to despise Jesus all the time. I had a chance to despise Jesus just a couple of weeks ago. I had a trial several years ago where the only reason my client was found not guilty was Jesus. I mean, my guy had signed a confession. I mean, he was done for. And he sat there praying in tongues while the jury was out, and I believed God was going to get a not guilty, and God did. And every time somebody, I had another lawyer come up to me just the other day and say, "How did you win that case?" She had a similar case. And I had a chance to despise Jesus. I had a chance to say, "It was my great legal talent that did it." And I won't do that, because I know that it was Jesus that won that case. I mean, there's no doubt. And she said exactly what everybody says. I know that, but.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there isn't any but. It was just Jesus. There was no reason at all, except for Jesus, that we won that case. But we have a chance to despise Jesus all the time. Anytime we do things on our own, we're despising Jesus and esteeming him not. If we think we can do something of our, you know, our own wisdom or our own, you know, knowledge, our own way of doing things, our own wherewithal, we're despising Jesus and esteeming him not.
Very well. Very good. Very good. you know, in 1973, the Father told me, "Take the Bible, study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about his son, Jesus. He'd give me a ministry like his son. And at the time, just the words that God said to me were overwhelming. And I thought, a minister like Jesus? Man, as I've said this so many times, or several, well, I've said a long time, I was just happy to be a veterinarian for Jesus. And he said, I'll give you a ministry like my son's. And I thought, man, how can this be? How can this ever be? And what does this mean? What does this encompass? What happens to me to get there? I mean, this is the way I thought. God made me to think like this. Not, oh, hallelujah, glory be to God. I'm going to have a ministry like Jesus. Power is dangling off my fingertips. You say, you're acting like you. I thought, my God, this is overpowering. How do I get there? What happens to me? Over the years, it's kind of evolved. And it's been grace for grace, faith for faith, or faith to faith, glory to glory. And I've never been totally persuaded that I knew just exactly what he was saying. I've never been fully persuaded of what it might involve, what it might, you know, how my life might be affected. Not only was he despised and rejected, he was betrayed. For money. And, you know, in Philippians chapter 3, it talks about count your life done, everything you are, everything you know. And said that not having your own righteousness, which is of the law, be found in him, it says. Then it goes on and it says, to know him. Of course, I know, I need to back up a little. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness, which is of faith in Jesus Christ. And to know him. That sounds good, to know God. The power of his resurrection. That sounds good. The fellowship of his sufferings. I think I got those backwards. And I would think, what does that mean? The fellowship of his sufferings. You know, and you can intellectualize anything, you can rationalize anything, and you can say anything, but that doesn't mean you know. So, I've wondered along many times, really, just how much of his sufferings, or how much of the depth of his sufferings I might know. See, I know Philippians chapter 2, and it talks about Jesus. It said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And it goes on and says, the man was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself, pardon me. And it says, wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, you know. You all know the Bible, all of you do. You believe in the inerrancy of it, of course. So I need not to speak. And I've wondered just what does this mean to my life? I've never talked this way. I've never thought it was wise. Frankly, I always hoped it would never happen. I have. That part I thought maybe we'd bypass. And let's turn to Isaiah 60. Since we're in Isaiah, I'm going to show you something. I know there's a 60. Yeah. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Rise, shine. For the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Do you think that happened to Jesus? I'll help you, it did. It happened to him.
Absolutely.
Then it goes on talking about the Gentiles mm-hmm. shall come to thy light.
That's right.
And I've considered this a lot. You know, Pharisees teach us that this is a church, sure is, but he's the head.
That's right.
And they teach it as a corporate entity, whatever that means. They teach it as, you know, the denomination will arise and shine. No, we're the church. Each of us individually is the church. And as Jesus arises and shines in us, we arise and shine. And that's the only way we arise and shine. And that glory comes upon us as our obedience.
Amen. Very well put. It's the way it happens. You go back and you study the life of Jesus. And he told, he let Peter know that he would deny him. Mm-hmm. Right? Despised and
rejected
of men.
Right.
See, you've never heard me talk this way. I've had this in my heart for years. Wondered if the day might come that I would experience some of the things Jesus experienced. Don't get bothered. I'm not going to die on the cross. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to be raised again the third day. So don't get nervous. I'm not deceived. I'm not stupid. I'm not your favorite preacher. Part of this I'm going to miss. Amen. But I pray all the time. I pray a lot, day and night. You know, one time Patty said, you know, woke up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and there you were, lying in a bed, praying out loud in tongues. I couldn't believe it. I said, well, you should. It says, I sleepeth, but my spirit awaketh. I think that's Song of Solomon. Somewhere it's in the Bible. Anyway, I want to say something. And I'm going to start with two people. And then I'm going to graduate. And there are two people that I know that have known me all their lives. and only two that are with me. That's Kathy and Ralph. And I want to tell you, if darkness hit them with enough strength, they would deny they knew me. You see, I'm not easy, Ralph.
Right.
Neither am I blind.
Right.
But there are two that I know that have known me since the 50s. But when this darkness hits you, John, the old flesh can rule. Peter proved that.
That's right.
James, John. See, not putting anybody down, just telling you. These two have known me longer than the rest of you. And I'm telling you, they could not help themselves. And I will say, I don't think these two would do anything willingly. I don't think they'd do anything willingly against me. Boy, the power of darkness hits. They don't have a choice. Now, if you wonder where I'm at, I will tell you. I believe that there's a great darkness about to hit this ministry. I do. You see, you don't need to think that you will escape what the apostles escaped or didn't escape.
Right.
They had every opportunity. They couldn't stand the darkness. And they said, we don't even want to know this guy. I won't be surprised what happens to what kind of accusations come against me. I won't be a bit surprised. And I will not be surprised whose mouth they come out of. I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
And at the end, arise, shine, for thy light is come.
That's right.
And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
That's right.
I mean, I just can't sit here and knowing that each of us will do that, leave it at that, because Jesus wasn't left at that either.
They all came back.
He came through. Exactly.
They came back.
Without that, it would just be too painful. I'm sitting here dying. I know everybody else up here is too. But I'm not going to leave it at that. So.
But and you're right. But that's what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about this a lot. And I thought, man, well, this happened to me. And I will tell you, a year, two or three years ago, I don't think I'd have been ready to sit here. I wouldn't have been able to tell you this. But I'm convinced there will be accusations come against me like you never heard. And there'll be many believe them and fall. And there'll be a purified group come out. That's what I think. Don't worry about me.
I mean, Jesus, Matthew tells them, he said, all shall be offended at me this night.
Right. Right.
You know.
See, I know that I'm not Jesus, but I know this is Jesus in me.
Right, exactly.
And I know none of you know what kind of trials of my faith has taken place. I know none of you have a clue how my faith has been tried. Just don't be offended. I believe God, this afternoon, 5 o'clock or so, brought me to a place to share this. And I just believed it was right to start with Kathy and Ralph, because I know none of you know me like those two do. So, don't think I'm going anywhere. I'm not. You know, I'll be ruling right here. You know what my prayer is? Where will you be? What will happen to you? You don't realize what kind of accusations have come against me. You don't realize what kind of betrayals have occurred in my life. I just say, Father, forgive them.
You know, in Isaiah 53:3, it says he is despised. That's present tense.
That's right.
That's Jesus in us. He is despised.
That's right.
And later on in that verse, it says he was despised.
That's right.
And that's historically accounted for through the written word.
Right.
But that does say he is despised, right, and rejected of men.
And it's Christ in me that they despise.
Right. Right.
It's no question. That's no question about
it. Oh,
that.
It's Jesus. You know, Saturday at prayer, I said at the beginning of the 5 o'clock prayer session that it says, smite the shepherd and scatter the sheep. That's what they did to Jesus. And I said, you know, that's what the devil would like to do with me. And I thought, well, sure, everybody knows that. But at the end of the session, you know what I said? I know this was God. I said, you know, the people that Jesus healed, that he cast devils out of, that he fed five loaves, two fishes, fed the multitude, paid their taxes. I didn't say that there, but he did, Peter's and his. Turned water into wine at a wedding. Stopped the funeral procession and raised a kid from the dead that I think was 12 years old. Healed Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. Healed the Gadarene. healed Peter's mother-in-law. Said to, I guess it was John, I think it was. Maybe not, but anyway, he said some disciple, he gave his mother to her, to the disciple.
Right.
All the things that this man did, and they said, we don't even know him. Not because they didn't have good intentions, because their hearts were not ready for the darkness that hit them. So, you know, I'm a pretty happy person. I really am. I'm one of the most blessed people you've ever met. See, I don't owe anybody any money. And I can live by faith, believing God for my meals. And I know that. And he knows it as well. Or whatever else I need. But I just believe that this is about to happen to me. There'll be betrayals. People will betray me, accuse me of things that aren't true. You say, what might that be? Wait till they happen and I'll tell you if they're true or not. Then you'll have to decide whether you believe or not. I will say this. This will be on tape. I have not, am not, will not disobey God. How's that?
Praise God.
Amen. So keep this and play it. I have not, I am not, may not be good. I'm not presently disobeying God. I have not disobeyed God. I will not disobey God. And that's it.
I believe that.
Well, I know that. But when the power of darkness comes, you can believe a lot of things.
That's right.
You know what Jesus said? You destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up.
That's right.
Man, they said, man, this guy died. He left us. They didn't even believe he was raised. But I'm not going to die. Don't worry about it. Your prayers will not be answered. You're just going to be embarrassed. Had a lady came to me once and said, there's nothing in me that would hurt you. That'll be proven to be a lie. You know what? When she told me that, I knew she didn't know what she was saying. You know why? Nobody knows the heart of a man. Well, one of you turn to Jeremiah 17:9-10.
Got it.
Read it.
The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings.
See, God knows the heart. Men don't. That's the deceit of the heart. You see, you don't deceive me when you tell me that kind of stuff. I just smile. But I'm not deceived by anybody. The devil deceived me for years. Led me around like I was a grasshopper. But I haven't been deceived by any of you. It wasn't the purposes of God that I would be. It's kind of fun, really. Oh, I pray for all of you. God forgive you. I do, all of the world. God forgive you. And, you know, that's about all I can do. That is all I can do. But don't be surprised what you say. You want to know why? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Yeah. You know what Peter said? I don't even know the guy.
Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee.
That's what he said.
Likewise, also said all the disciples. I mean, there's not a person that's listening to you now, watching you now, sitting in here now, who's not saying this very same thing.
I know that. But I'm telling you, when the power of darkness hits, you can't help yourself. You don't know where this man has been. Patty had no idea. Kathy had no idea. No one else had any idea. But I went through things that the rest of you would have fallen apart with. And I know that. I mean, Argyle was a deep, dark hole. But I walked out. You know why? It's the grace of God. You say, oh, we don't want to hear these sad stories. Don't worry about the sad stories when I start casting the devil out of your preacher. Then you can get sad that you ever listened to him. Your old sad preacher that manipulates you and takes your money, has lied to you, and motivated you, as you would say. That's when you'll be sad that you ever listened to the dude. Don't remain that way. Just believe this gospel and we'll come on through. See, I'm not sad. I'm not going to be sad. I don't care what you say about me. It doesn't bother me. I've obeyed God. Can you say that? Guess what? I will. You know who my judge is? The Father. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the shocking things, I guess, to my little soul was that some goofy preacher over here in Plano at his church. And they had a story going around in his church. If I can think of his name, I will speak it. Amen. That I had a contract out on his life. His name is Gary Page, and he lost his church, his building. That's the kind of junk that was going on in that church. A contract with whom? And that came from a member of that church. It happened to be the mother of my drum player. Did you know about that? Yeah. And when they brought that story to me, I did have some fun. I thought, it's time to go fishing. You know, he built that big church, and he lost it. And he calls Charles Simpson when I announced on TV that Charles Simpson is coming to Water of Life. He calls Charles Simpson, and he says, you better not go there. This man thinks he has a ministry of correction. And so Charles Simpson wrote me a letter and told me that he didn't want to come. And he told me somebody told him. Well, I knew who told him this. And I don't write letters. I call you. I got enough guts to speak to you. I'll come to your house. Come sit in your office. Come to your den. See, I'm not afraid. I don't run. When the heat comes, I don't run. You know why you run? Because your heart's full of darkness. And when the power of darkness arises on you, and the power of God starts rising up in me, you run. You're afraid. So I called Simpson, and I said, Charles, what's the meaning of this letter? And he said, well, I don't want to come out there and get rebuked. And I said, well, do you believe that God would send you to Plano to get rebuked? And you know what Simpson finally said? He said, well, Lord, I've known you. Derek knows you. Bob knows you. And I'm going to trust this as God, and I'm going to come. And God brought him. Gary Page lost his church over that. And I sat in my office, and I put Simpson on TV and paid for it. And what he said just blew me away. But I sat in my office, and I said, Charles, if I would have listened to you and Derek and Bob and Basham and Baxter back in the 70s, I wouldn't have this ministry today. And gave him a check for $5,000 that you all gave him. And he said, boy, this is more than generous. I said, well, so what? I took him an offering for it. But I believe God for the offering. He didn't. And that's what I wanted him to have. And it took him to the airport. And when I let him out, he gave me a hug and he said, don't let it be too long till I hear from you. Well, it's been from that day or since that day. And if Charles Simpson wants to see Doyle, he can come here. On his ticket, not mine. Amen. I'll buy your lunch and buy you a one-way ticket here and there. I guess that's two-way. But if you want to come back, come on your own. See what God's done in this man's life that has obeyed him while the rest of them were playing Mickey Mouse games. Playing religion. I grew up in it. So, I knew what God wanted to do tonight. And I knew he showed me how to start with Isaiah 52 and 53. And I thought it was interesting that the last one was verse 3. Despised and rejected of men. I knew what God wanted me to say. And I knew God wanted me to start with Ralph and Kathy. If there are any two people on this earth that would stand up for me, it would be them. But if the power of darkness comes on them, I know what both of them would say. No, we hate to feel this way, but we do.
Well, I just thank God for all the mercy he's got.
Yeah. Well, both of you better. Because I know this devil.
He's wicked.
I know what he's tried to do to me. And, you know, they're just, these two are just like the rest of you. Terry and Debbie, I won't even get involved in this. Now, the rest of you, I'll spare all of your feelings. You say, what do you think's getting ready to happen? We'll find out, won't we?
Yes, sir.
But you better know what I'll do. Drive my Tahoe, ride my bicycle, and command devils and heal the sick. I won't be moved. I'll just see how many of you are left when it's over. Amen. I'm convinced that this is about to happen, or I wouldn't talk about it. And frankly, I'm excited about it. You know why? Well, think it not strange, the fiery trial, that's to try your faith. Amen. See, I'm not a bit bothered by it. See, you can't offend me. I love you. And my prayer is, Father, forgive them. You want to know why? Because they don't know what they're doing. They don't. So, we're going to have a lot of fun. By the way, I got me a new Tahoe, paid cash for it. So, got a lot of miles. I can really believe God. Hallelujah. Y'all want the same thing, Terry?
I was just thinking that it came to me about, you know, Jesus said that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived.
That's what he said.
God's the only one that knows who is the very elect.
Well, let me tell you, had it not been for God choosing me, I'd have never believed what I just talked about. Mm-hmm. See, what's really bad is somebody that thinks they can read the Bible and think they're spiritual, but they're of God. Well, Pharisees can read the Bible. And they're the worst. They killed Jesus. Don't worry, I'm not dying. I'm not even going to be raised from the dead. I'll be right here. Love you all, and I'll see you tomorrow.
We invite you to visit Water of Life Church at 1621 18th Street in Plano, Texas. Or for further information, call area code 972-578-8082. That's 972-578-8082. Or write Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas 75086. That's Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas 75086. This program was paid for by Water of Life Church.